So, TJ.
Yes, sir. JC, how we doing, buddy?
Good, buddy. You know who's doing better than we are right now, though?
Who's that?
Triple H.
The King of Kings?
King of Kings. He's
the Cerebral Assassin.
Yeah.
The Game.
The Game. He's doing better than all of us right now.
Man, let me tell you, Triple H, if I had a son tomorrow, I would name him Hunter Hearst Helmsley Jr. Taylor. Because he's just that incredible.
I honestly think that's what we should just name the son.
And I would let my son pin me every single night because my son he would I just want Triple H to be my son. That's what I'm getting. I want my son to be Triple H.
Yeah, but here's the real question. In a match, who's going to win, Triple H or your son?
Triple H is fucking going over, JC.
Always. He's always fucking going over.
There's no universe where Triple H is not going the fuck over.
Because he's the Game.
He's the Cerebral Assassin.
He's the King of Kings. Hello, everyone. Right. Oh, shit. Hello, everyone. Welcome once again. It's the Out of Nowhere podcast.
Coming to you straight out of nowhere.
All up in your ear holes. This is JC on this side of the ring and across the ring from me. It's TJ.
In the blue corner. Over here, I'm Tej, for sure.
Why don't they use colored corners?
I think... I said last week, I think WWE could take a lot from boxing, but I digress.
I know. See, like, stuff like that, having, like, ranked contender levels, like, so-and-so's the number one. You know, like, UFC always has, like, the top 10 in every division laid out. I would love that shit.
Well, you know, WCW used to run that. There used to be a top 10 list.
And that is why WWF. And that is why the E doesn't do it.
I mean, back in the golden, I'm talking, like, the Sting, Terry Funk, Ric Flair, Golden Days. There was always a top 10 list.
That's true.
I think it makes sense. I know Jim Ross is a supporter of it. Yeah. He said for a long time there should be a ranked system.
Yeah.
They have the power rankings, which I guess kind of counts, but not really.
Yeah, nobody, but see, I want to see it by division. Like, I'd love to see, like, the Divas ranked, the tag teams ranked. And like,
I agree. I'm with you
100%. Top 10 for the U.S. title, for the IC title, and for the heavyweight title, which could
they implement it into their video games. Like, you have to be ranked a certain level to challenge for the championship in some of their older video games and stuff. I don't know.
Oh, I know.
I think it's logical. It makes sense in a kayfabe fight form, but at the same time, it also does, I guess, restrict you a little bit from who can fight at any given time.
Yeah, totally. We jumped right into the conversation. That was nice. So I'll go ahead and backtrack and get to all the plugs. Again, welcome to the Out of Nowhere podcast. If you're listening to us now, you've already found us on iTunes or Stitcher. You can download us there. Share us with your friends. Share our Twitter with
Absolutely.
Your friends. Share our Twitter with your friends. At Out of Nowhere Show, S-H-O, no W.
No W.
And then, yeah, that's pretty much it. Rate, review, subscribe. 5 stars would be nice. I don't think anyone's ever reviewed us. I haven't looked. I can't bring myself to look because I'm afraid of what I might see.
I can feel that. I feel that.
I love
feedback,
critic.
Though. Hit me on Twitter sometime. Hit JC on Twitter. We would love to hear from you guys.
Yeah. Even if you think we're, you know, Nazis or something.
Well, that's let's not get too carried away.
We'll save that for later. There's only room enough for one Nazi in the WWE, and she got fired. That's called a tease right there. All right, so where to begin? I guess we'll start off with Raw, talking a little Raw from Monday, August 31st, the last one of the month. Three weeks out from Night of Champions, 2 weeks removed from SummerSlam. Overall, what were your thoughts on Raw last night before we kind of dive into it?
Overall thoughts on Raw? To be in your middle, we're in the hump day of the two pay-per-views. You know, we had SummerSlam a couple of weeks ago. We have Night of Champions coming up in a couple of weeks. And a lot of times, this is the Monday that would normally be pretty lacking. But I think we got some stuff done. I think it was a fine... I think they continued the build a little bit to Night of Champions and some important storylines. And I think it was a necessary... You know, not anything to super duper write home about, but it got the job done. It progressed some stories.
Yeah.
It got us going in the right direction.
Yeah, I feel very similar to that. It was a very decent maintenance show. Again, there was nothing good. There was definitely more negative than positive to it for me. Because of the fact that the Lana Rusev Ziggler Summer Rae stuff took up 4 segments.
That
could have been much better spent. But we'll get there a bit later on. Oh, that's actually the second topic tonight. Okay. I thought I put it pretty high on the rundown because I was like, this is how much I hated this. It was fine. It would have been a better – it was a very tired show. The crowd was god-awful and did not help anybody, not the talent in the ring, not the interest of anyone watching at home.
They were a little – yeah, they were dragging.
But boy, did they pop for Tampa, John.
Man.
But I guess it's hard for me to even say. I guess we should start with the biggest thing of the night, which I guess technically it is because it involves the belt. But nothing felt super important last night, so we'll just give this top billing. Sting's back on Raw.
Stinger! Opening up Monday Night
Sting
Raw.
Started Raw, and I think they announced it like Sunday or something, or Saturday. They put it on Twitter, and I was like, holy shit, I'm pumped. Nothing can go wrong between now and Monday night.
Right.
Raw starts, Sting comes out, and basically, as we alluded to by putting Triple H over for a minute and a half in the opening of the show, Sting proceeds to put Triple H over for 5 minutes. It was weird. Especially given the fact, now, again, he was beaten by him, so he should have respect towards Triple H after what went down at WrestleMania.
Right.
Okay. But, God, he sold him to be, like, the best wrestler on the face of the earth, and he's not even a full-time active wrestler. It was just weird.
It was weird, and it was a less-than-necessary reminder that your number one contender, which is what Sting is right now, I guess, for your WWE World Heavyweight Championship, has never won a match in your company.
He is effectively 0-1. Yeah. I don't know. It just... He comes out and he's talking about, you know, Seth Rollins thinks he's the man, but Triple H is the man, and I'm going to be the man. And I'm like, all right, there are too many fucking men here right now. Let's all, like, calm down for a second. Just say you're going to beat him. That's all we need to say with, you know, I'm going to teach Seth Rollins a lesson. His head's gotten too big. His ego's too big. I'm going to take him down a peg at Night of Champions and win the one belt that has eluded me. That's all it needed to be. It was just weird.
It's trips, man.
Yeah. And here's the worst part. I fucking loved it because it was Sting starting Monday Night Raw.
And you people have to understand, too. You people. God, I...
Wow.
You people have to understand, too, that maybe JC's favorite wrestler is Triple H. He's up there on your all-time list, if
Triple
I'm not
H,
mistaken.
Triple H is my favorite all-time. Back in my younger days, during the Attitude Era, fucking anything went down and Triple H was there, I was pulling for my boy.
He's a huge, you know, in his head, he puts over Triple H more than anybody, and this just seems weird. Ultimately, it's, you know, they're sneaky, or not even sneaky at this point, it's very obvious, but they're ultimately building to Trips v. Seth, whenever that is. A lot of people are saying Mania, I don't know, but whenever Seth v. Trips is, they're trying to build a little bit of tension there.
Yeah. And here's the thing, like, I mean, it's one of those things we can definitely all know that's something that's going to happen because all factions must split at some point. That's part of professional wrestling. That's perfectly fine. I don't need to be beat over the fucking head with it, though, like I was
all right
all last night.
Right.
It was crazy.
Why are we building Trips v. Seth when we could be building Sting v. Seth?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, focus
on that.
With
Sting's promo.
Because the natural tension of this storyline occurs in what happened at the end of the night, and really, we can go ahead and progress straight to that point. Seth is still pissed he doesn't have his statue. Talks to Stephanie about it. He says, you know, you have to confront Sting and get it back. Oh, and I don't appreciate all the shit you've been saying about my husband and being better than him. Seth then, in the final seg of the night, comes out, calls out Sting, again talking, you know, about him personally being better than Triple H and him being the man now, and Triple H was the past. And then, of course, he calls out Sting, and Steph comes out, confronts him again, bitch slaps him a little bit more with the, you know, you're not better than my husband, you need to calm your shit routine. He proceeds to call out Sting again. Cena comes out, and to boil it all down, in a not a good Cena promo, not what we've been seeing from him lately, in my opinion. Did not have quite the passion behind it. He challenges Seth, or cashes in his rematch clause, I should say, for the U.S. title at Night of Champions, to which Stephanie obliges, much to the dismay of Seth Rollins. And so Rollins is going to have two matches at Night of Champions. Thoughts on the Cena rematch? I mean, I, you and I have talked about this already, and I think we even talked about it last week, that that's the natural progression, that he defends both belts at Night of Champions. But thoughts now, knowing that it's confirmed?
Knowing that it's confirmed and that it's Cena, I have no problem, because A, it's logical on both fronts. He has two belts. He should have to defend them both at Night of Champions. It is the Night of Champions. And Cena does get a rematch. He was not just the champion, but a very good defending champion. He should be the first one to get a shot at Seth's U.S. title belt. I have no problem with that. I also have no problem with it, the same reason that I didn't have a problem with it at SummerSlam. It's your best face versus your best heel, both in ring and in the WWE's eyes right now. So I have no problem with your top heel facing your top face for a title in what I'm assuming will be the opening match. In fact, it'll be really neat, because I assume it has to open the show, doesn't it?
Cena jerking the curtain will be a thing to remember. Yeah, I absolutely believe that opens the show, and then Steph.
And what a hell of a way to kick off a show, too. I mean, you, in a year that's been filled with Sheamus Orton's opening shows, it's really actually going to be super refreshing to see John Cena fighting for the U.S. title against an outstanding wrestler in Seth Rollins.
Does that mean Sheamus
for the U.S. title? It feels good. It feels right.
Does that mean Sheamus Orton's going to be our co-main event of the evening?
Probably.
Oh, anyway, so like I said, not a whole lot kind of occurring there. Setting up the obvious thing that we already knew had to happen, that he had to defend the U.S. title against Cena, taking the longest route possible over 3 hours and 15 minutes to get to that point. So we've got Night of Champions. We've got Sting challenging for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, John Cena challenging for the U.S. title. What's, you know, we're 3 weeks out, and I like to do this every time because we know what we're building to. What do you think is going to occur?
Well, the first thing I think that's going to occur, I think you're going to get two very different matches.
Yep.
It's going to be, even if he loses them both, which is a very real possibility, I think it's going to be a great night to showcase Seth Rollins' abilities and what all he can do in the ring. He's going to have two very different types of matches. I see the match with Cena being an outstanding wrestling match. I think those two are going to go at it, have a semi-traditional match, and hopefully, who knows, but hopefully we'll finally get the clean resolution to that rivalry that we're hoping for, as opposed to the dirty end that we got at SummerSlam. I would love, even if it's lol Cena wins, I have no problem Cena going over clean and us getting a clean, good resolution to this story. Move on for a minute. That being said, ultimately I see Cena winning that match. I think Cena probably wins that match clean. It makes sense for the WWE. It makes sense to get their golden boy a win. And I have no problem with it. It gets Seth back down to one belt at least for a minute. And I if there's anyone who has complained about Cena's reign as a U.S. title, as the U.S. champion, they're just wrong. At this point, he's had a phenomenal run with the title. I have no problem seeing it back on him. I love mid-card title Cena. He's doing great stuff with it.
Yeah.
Moving on to the second match, I see it being a great fight. Whereas I said a great wrestling match in the first one, I see Seth versus Sting being a more traditional Attitude Era style match. I think it's going to be much more. I expect to see these three things in any given order. I expect to see them fight in the crowd for a minute. Not for long, but for a minute, you know, go into the crowd, have a little bit of crowd altercation. I expect to see an announce table broken. And I expect to see a superplex. And I could almost call those three. If I'm booking this match, I book those three spots. It's a little bit formulaic, but it's a great way to do it. It's the Rock Austin formula. It's a formula that the older Sting can probably work with well without getting too exhausted, too winded. And I'm convinced at this point that Seth could have a great match with a broom. So when you take someone like Sting, who I'm not at all saying is a broom, I think Sting has not plenty of gas in the tank, but enough gas in the tank that with Seth carrying him, they're going to have a hell of a match. And I think because Sting is so much different at his point in his career than Cena is at his point in his career, I think we're going to get two very different matches, and I think Seth is really going to shine. And probably shine in a loss in both of them. I kind of feel like it's going to go with Seth dropping both belts at Night of Champions. And if he does, I think I still think Seth might be star of the night, or should be star of the night.
Yeah.
It's reminiscent to me of when Daniel Bryan opened and closed Mania.
Yeah, definitely.
Trips and Orton and Batista. He's fighting Cena and Sting, which are both as big of names as the Evolution, no question. Arguably bigger. And I don't have a problem with the best wrestler in the company right now, which Seth Rollins might be, having the opening and closing match. If you're not a fan of Seth, check out Night of Champions. You might be impressed with what he can do in the ring.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree. I think Cena Seth starts the show is an absolute barn burner of a match, which will be great because it'll get the crowd really going. He loses clean. Seth loses clean. Cena gets the belt. That gives you really the anger and the fire that pushes Seth Rollins coming out to the next match. I'm sure we'll get a backstage promo or two of him being really pissed off about losing. And the Seth Sting match is going to be a really good one. Sting is very capable of providing the offense for that match, and Seth is very capable of being the Dolph Ziggler of that match and flopping and taking all the bumps to where he's gonna make it believable. He's gonna sell it and it's gonna look good. I believe Sting goes over, which fills my heart with such joy for the 30 seconds I'm gonna see him hold that belt until Sheamus cashes in.
You see it ending with Sheamus?
Yes, I see it ending with Sheamus because the Authority has sent him out there to reclaim the belt for them. And Sheamus is revealed as the new member of the Authority, feuding Rollins. Which is a feud we have not seen before.
Sheamus and Rollins would be a fun little feud. I'd be okay with it. And I think Authority Sheamus would be, like I said, it could actually add something to Sheamus' character right now to be the Authority's stooge.
Yeah, well, they need to add something to it.
Yeah, I have no qualms with that ending. Ultimate fantasy booking, what I love to see happen.
Sting wins clean. Blackout. Woo!
Stinger wins clean, and yeah, it's leading to Taker Sting at Mania. That's what I would love.
I do want Staker. I cannot say anything without an S in front of it because there's Seth and Sting. Too many S's. I do want Taker and Sting at Mania. I do not want it for the belt.
WWE keeps dropping all these, you know, news leaks of Taker and Sting and definitely won't be fighting at Mania. I don't think we exist in a universe where they're not fighting at this year's Mania. I think they're absolutely fighting at Mania. I think that's why they've made such a point to turn Taker.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope so, because I really hope they're not saving Taker Lesnar 3 for Mania. You know, the match that's too big for SummerSlam. Taker Lesnar 3. Yeah, so we'll see. I think, you know, I think we're both in agreement. Seth leaves that Sunday night empty-handed. And it's going to be really weird not seeing Seth Rollins carrying a single thing.
Right. I love the two belt. I actually had the thought when I saw Seth this week of Seth looks important.
Yes.
He has two belts, and he looks good with both of the belts on. He really does. I can absolutely see a scenario where Seth goes over at Night of Champions in either or both matches, but particularly in the Sting match. And I'm fine with that. I don't mind Seth as our champ. I never have minded Seth as our champ. He looks good with it. He's having a good reign. He's been booked a little weak, but he looks important. Not Wrestling Fan Max's quote on Seth Rollins right after Seth won the belt and put on the U.S. title. As soon as he saw Seth with both belts at the same time, his first reaction was, did Seth Rollins just become the fucking man?
He would have.
And
believe
I said,
that.
I think so. Yes.
Yeah. Can I just make this comment too, and then we'll move on?
Go for it.
It appears everyone can figure out how to carry two belts except for Randy Orton, who never seemed to master that skill.
Randall, God bless him.
The whole time he was carrying the two belts, it's just like he didn't know how to do it. You know, Cena always links them together and puts them over his neck. D-Bry just had one on each shoulder. You know, not linked together, but both strapped and was holding them. Orton was like, I don't know how to do this. I'm going to...
Consistently.
Yeah. Seth's got the one on and the one on the shoulder. Orton just... Yeah. Anyway, enough on Orton. Who wasn't even on the show Monday.
Randall was not.
He was in the dark match, though. So, after the show went off.
Anytime I get a breather from Randall... I don't mind Randall not being there every once in a while because he is fresh if he's been missing for a week. It doesn't take but a week off for you to miss Randy.
Yeah. For real.
Your best shows are always shows that ran.
Oh, I lost you there for a second. Say that again.
I said historically the best Monday Night Raws are the Raws that Randy's on.
Yeah.
You can have a great Raw without Cena, but usually without Randy, your Raw is just kind of average.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's all that's kind of going on in the title scene right now. Not a whole lot of newsworthy anything going on there that we didn't already know was going to happen.
There was another title match on Monday. I don't know if you saw. Actually, I know you didn't see. You went to the bathroom.
No, I watched it. I did not go to the bathroom. Are we really skipping ahead to this?
To me.
Okay. I'm going to let you. Yeah. All right. I'm going to let you take the lead on this one.
You're going to think I'm crazy, but I thought this was match of the night.
No,
I thought
God.
This was match of the night.
Jesus.
I loved it.
No.
Big Show fought Ryback for the Intercontinental title on Monday Night Raw.
There's no way.
I thought was a fantastic match. I think it was, for the time it was allotted, I think they both played their parts pretty perfectly. Big Show is incorporating new moves. And they're not all working. It's kind of like Cena trying out the new moves. They're not all working. But some of them are. And some of them are working really nicely. And it's nice to see someone who is as veteran and as niched as Big Show saying, you know what, I need to add wrinkles to my game. I think for the past couple of weeks, Big Show has been more than any other superstar I've seen, the one I would circle for a most improved award. I think Big Show is really hitting a little bit of a resurgence. I think he's doing good work. And it's kind of coinciding with the please retire chance, which is sad in my opinion. But I really appreciate what Big Show's been doing. And I thought he and Ryback, who, granted, I was about like everybody else. I about said, you know what, Big Show and Ryback, I'll go take a bathroom break. But it was for the IC title, and I said, you know what, maybe they'll change, maybe they'll have a title change hands, maybe they'll throw us a swerve on Raw. It's the IC title. It wouldn't be that huge of a shocker if they swerved us on Raw with the IC title. So I stuck around, I watched the match, and the match felt important. It felt like it was for a title, and it was a hell of a match. The two guys, if you like, that's what you expect with a big guy versus a strong guy. But it wasn't a snooze fest. It was a really good big man match. It was really good unstoppable force meets immovable object. And I thought they had I thought both guys put in a great effort.
It was fine.
I'll also say with the exception of the tag match, which we haven't gotten to yet, but with the exception of the tag match, it was the thing that felt the most fresh. Everything else felt like a SummerSlam redo. This felt like a new match. It felt like a new, it was the first time I've seen Ryback Big Show, and it's felt new in a while.
Yeah.
But I thought the guys did a great job.
Yeah, I think, and I told you this, you know, to me, the second half of the match really picked up. It was great. Miz on commentary, always great. I'm glad was not the one fighting for the belt. Because I'm ready for Miz to be away from the Intercontinental title. Picture.
Me too.
I'm ready for that. I love him. Time to move on.
I love him too.
And if it's just Big Show Ryback at Night of Champions for the title, I think that's fine. They'll put on a decent match. That would be a good match to put somewhere to kind of cool the crowd off. It's nothing that's going to bring the house down for any. But it was good. I mean, it was fine. I mean, that's literally the way I feel about it. You know, Big Show loses on a distraction from the Miz hopping up on the apron. Yeah, it was standard, and I'm okay with it. Like, I didn't hate the fact I watched it, so that's a good thing, I guess.
There you go. I'd have given it. I'm not saying it was match of the year or match of the month. I'm really not. But I thought it was match of the night on a slightly underwhelming night. I thought it was match of the night.
Okay, if you're gonna give that match of the night, I'll skip ahead to my match of the night.
Go ahead.
Kevin Owens and Cesaro.
Very good match.
Always a match of the night because it's Kevin Owens. Always a match of the night because it's Cesaro. It was another just, I think they got 12 to 15 minutes, if I remember correctly. Just a really solid, brutal match those two always have with each other. Cesaro ends up taking a bump, you know, with Owens running into him onto the apron. Cesaro goes into the announce table, hits his ribs on the edge of the announce table, comes back in, where he proceeds to get pop-up powerbombed by Cesaro. God, those two were so good. And Owens shit-talking everything during the entire... And thank God the crowd was dead silent, because we got to enjoy the brilliance that is Kevin Owens mid-match.
Owens is one of the best talkers in ring.
Yes.
During a match, there are few who can talk as well as Kevin Owens. In fact, my note on the show was Kevin Owens does all the little things right.
He
reminds me, in a sense, of in his in-ring talk, he reminds me of Terry Funk.
Yeah.
Terry Funk had a way of talking to his opponents while the fight was going on that seemed like real-life shit talk. And it absolutely happened. I mean, look at Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali is the most electrifying athlete maybe in history. And he shat talk constantly during a fight. I have no problem with a guy doing it, particularly if he's good at it, like KO. I love KO shit talking in between the ropes during the ring, the match.
He is the best heel they have on the roster right now. In the way he performs and the way he works, he embodies a heel.
I'll put him 1B to Seth.
He goes,
I think Seth's I'm, doing
that's good. His one Seth's 1B to KO to me on it. I mean, adding, because Seth doesn't do the shit talking during the match, and he doesn't necessarily do, like,
that's fair.
The little tiny dirtier stuff, like, you know, Cesaro rolls back in the ring and the referee's trying to hold it back, and Owens gets up in the referee's face and starts yelling at him and tries to get to Cesaro. It's just that little stuff that makes him such a great, pure heel. And he has such potential. And Cesaro has shown such potential in the last 2 months, too. He connects. Who would have thought, Vince? These two men are great with each other. It's time for them to not fight each other anymore and for us to find meaning. Meaning needs to be found for both of these men. They need to be put in the program. Kevin Owens would be great feuding for that Kevin Owens or Cesaro should be feuding for the Intercontinental title right now.
Not Cesaro. Please don't put it on Cesaro.
Why?
God, please don't.
Give him something.
I hear you, but it would be death to Cesaro's career if he was a face with the IC title right now. He's already jobbing to KO clean, which I'm okay with. I have no problem with it. That's fine. He lost KO. He should have lost. I thought the right man went over. It went 2 weeks. And they did it right. KO beat him clean twice. Like you said, WWE in this feud now. If you take it any further, you're just hurting what you've already accomplished. You had a good feud. End it. Let these men move on to something new. Yeah. That being said, Cesaro for the IC title is just, I feel like, and maybe I'm just nervous because of how badly things have went with the IC title as of late. But man, I just feel like that's a spot for him to get buried. I think the most logical feud. I would put the IC title on KO if I were going to go with one of the two. One, because KO versus Ryback is a very logical feud. It's a very logical next step for Kevin Owens.
That sounds good. I can deal with that.
Cesaro. I think the very most logical next step for Cesaro, he just lost to KO twice, which is fine. The right man went over, I think. The one who had the most to gain did. But yeah. Now we're at that point where Cesaro has to pick up a win, and he has to pick up a win that matters. I think the most sensible win that matters for Cesaro right now, at Night of Champions, and a guy who doesn't have a match yet, would be Sheamus. Give him a clean win over a guy who's about to be the world champion, and all of a sudden you have credibility.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that would be a good match to watch too.
It would be a nice. Oh man, you know they would have chemistry.
Yeah.
In fact, they had one of the match of the years about 2 years ago. Cesaro and Sheamus just had a hell of a brawl.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Well, I saw them have a match. This was a TV taping in Greensboro that I was at live. They taped it for main event, so I guess it was live. And it went to a count out, but it was so good. Those two have incredible chemistry together.
Yeah, I think for Night of Champions, if you have Cesaro go over Sheamus, you still have the option of Sheamus cashing in at the end of the night. And if he does, if Sheamus wins the world championship and Cesaro scored a pin over him the same night, it totally keeps your push going for Cesaro, even though he hasn't had a huge win yet this year.
Yeah. Definitely. I think that would be the logical route to go. I don't think that's where they're going. I think we're going to a rematch at Night of Champions with Kevin Owens and Cesaro. Because WWE feels this inherent need for 50-50 booking all the time. So this is Cesaro's turn to win. And then we can split it off. It's not necessary. Again, it won't be a bad match. It's going to be great to watch. I'm going to love it. But I just want to see something done with both of these guys to further.
Right. I would love to see, like I said, my ideal booking would be Owens in the IC title feud and give Cesaro Sheamus one match and just let that build Cesaro.
Yeah.
That's a natural step for him to take. It's not irresponsible. It doesn't necessarily make him the number one contender if Sheamus is champ. It just gives him a credible win over a credible opponent.
Totally.
It puts him in the spot that Randy was in. right after Mania, which is about where on the card Cesaro should be right now.
Yeah.
Credible is a top face, but he's not your 1A guy, but he's a credible top world championship level face.
Yeah. Totally. I don't even want to talk about this. That's how I feel about a lot of stuff. Ziggler and Lana with Summer Rae and Rusev.
Hot Summer, you mean?
Hot Summer, I did write that in the rundown. let me recap the entire night.
We're positive on this show, JC. We are super positive wrestling fans.
Let me recap the entire thing. I think we should say we're the most honest.
Okay.
Because we're going to be honest.
Okay, let's be honest.
Because I'm not... trigger
honestly
war.
Hopeful.
This is a spoiler alert. Nothing positive coming out of my mouth after I do this recap. So after Sting's kind of opening segment, we get Rusev and Ziggler one-on-one in a SummerSlam rematch, both accompanied by their female companions, Summer Rae and Lana. It was a decent match. Again, nothing to write home about, though. Rusev does get DQ'd at the end of the match, which is the only time a DQ happens, I guess. Gets DQ'd because Summer Rae goes and tries to rip Ziggler off of Rusev as he's attempting a pinfall. Scuffle, everybody goes to the back. After we get to watch Ziggler and Lana make out on the entrance ramp on their way out. Fabulous. We get a backstage interview later with Renee Young. Renee Young, star of the night. Renee Young. Talking to Dolph, making lewd comments about, I got to get going. I got more important things to do tonight. And I think he means coitus with Lana. So we see him go into his locker room. First time ever we've had individual locker rooms with people's names on them. That's surprising.
It's something.
And then, oddly enough, this is when you knew something was up, Renee starts to run down the rest of the show just standing backstage with the camera on her instead of throwing it to the announce table. And in the background where you see Ziggler's locker room, you see Summer Rae kind of walk up to it and look around. She looks directly in the direction of the camera and somehow doesn't see it, and then goes into Ziggler's locker room. We get another backstage interview. Renee's interviewing somebody. I don't even remember who it was. Honest to God. Later, where we hear cackling and then Summer running out of Dolph Ziggler's locker room and down the hallway. Okay. Then we get another backstage segment where we see Dolph... this is so badly scripted. Explaining to Lana, nothing happened, So what? She saw... and Lana's like, well, I can't deal with the fact that she saw you naked. He's like, so what if she saw me naked? Nothing happened. It was nothing. I hate the word nothing after last night. So Lana walks away from Ziggler. Then we get... I guess this was technically 5 segments... Then we get Renee backstage with Lana, thinking I have an interview with Lana, but first, Lana, I want to show you the interview I did during the commercial break with Summer Rae, and Summer Rae explaining her side of the story, saying, I just really wanted to, patch things over and get the four of us to be closer and be friends. So I walk in, and I'm talking it off, and he starts undressing, and I could see everything, and... He didn't have any tan lines, even though we saw him with tan lines earlier.
Yeah, okay.
And, everything was perfect except for that little cute little tattoo on his pelvis. And then he gets in the shower and he invites me in and all I can see is his soaking wet body glistening. And then I just realized, who would I be if I... did anything with him now when I left the situation. And of course, Lana, being the dumb, stupid idiot she is, they cut back to her and she's tearing up and walks away from the interview. The next line on the recap I wrote is, or the rundown I wrote is, I'm officially over this shit now. This was some Vince Russo level attitude era bullshit. When people say, God, it would be great if it was the Attitude Era now. Do you realize this is all you would see all night?
all night.
This is it, people. Have you watched any of the Attitude Era Raws on the network? It was this Man. Shit, but four storylines of this shit.
WWE will not be satisfied until every couple they have ever had breaks up in real life.
It's just like...
With the exception of Trips and Steph, because, you know, Trips has to go over.
Because he's a game.
King of Kings.
Cerebral Assassin.
Holy, I'm just like... They devote five segments to this. They think they are so brilliant at writing soap operas that they devoted five segments of Raw to this.
Man, why are we turning Dolph? I'm only okay with turning Dolph if something comes from it.
I mean, and I know they filmed SmackDown tonight, and I think I have the spoilers up. And, you know, there was supposed to be a Miz TV with Dolph and Lana. Okay. I'll pull those up while I'm talking. But it's just gone on for way too long now. It's exhausting. No one cares. And like I said, they think this whole storyline is so over. And I hate this shit. I fucking hate this shit. I loved it at first because you know what? The kind of goofy soap opera storyline. Sure, you know what?
It has a place.
WWE wants and claims, you know, that we're really a variety show. And you know what? Sure, that's fine. A little bit of that does not bother me. When it takes up five segments of a show and it's just no logic behind it that Lana can't look back at the tape and see what happened. And she just blindly believes everything Summer Rae is saying. And Summer Rae is making comments about not seeing tan lines, even though we clearly saw Dolph Ziggler has tan. It's just, it's nonsensical and mind-numbing. And I just, like, I can't do it. I can't do this storyline anymore. I can't. And it's killing Rusev. I don't care about Dolph Ziggler because Dolph Ziggler is so done that this is the kind of shit he should be in.
Should. Okay, should is a strong word.
But Rusev was such a great monster heel. For the entire last year, from WrestleMania 30 to WrestleMania 31, he was the most destructive force in the company.
He was great.
He was so good. And then now he's forced into this crap? I don't get what the thought process. And then, like, let's assume, and we're going to get a mixed tag match at Night of Champions, and that's the blow-off. What the hell's next for these people? Where do you put them after this? This storyline sets them up for nothing.
It does, it's a hard question right now. In fact, I'm curious, you might could pull this up while I'm talking about this match, but, I wonder where the WWE has Dolph and Rusev power ranked right now. Because, you know, they release their own power rankings every week.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're neat to look at just to see where WWE writers kind of have these guys.
Oh, I'm sure it's way higher than they should be.
I think so, too. And I think I think what WWE thinks they're doing is, well, if we put Rusev over a two-time world champion and Dolph's one of our very top faces. Dolph is like face number three right now. We're going to put him over Dolph, and that's a world champion Dolph, and that's going to get Rusev back into the conversation. I think that's my Vince. But,
Your Vince sounds like shit. I'm sorry. It's terrible. You're fired.
My Vince has nothing on Triple H's Triple H.
They have them 20 and 21. Ziggler is 21 and Rusev 20.
Well, no, I guess that's about right, actually.
Yeah.
But
let me see. Okay, let me go back because they literally have each person on a separate page and it's driving me crazy. Thanks for the clickbait, WWE. Okay, so King Barrett's 25.
How?
Yeah, he should be like 49. Team Bad is 24. Big Show's 23. The Dudley Boys are ranked 22.
Well, they just debuted. They're being allowed to climb up the list right now.
Yeah, this is so stupid. Rusev is 20. Team Bella is 19. Cesaro's 16. Sting is 18. PTP's 15. Stardust is 14. Ryback's 12.
How did Stardust get all the way up to 14?
No idea. Orton is 8. Neville's ranked 7th in the power rankings.
How do they... God. Man, how do they...
None of this makes any shit.
How, Dub?
It doesn't matter.
How? What? Where the fuck... Is Seth 30th?
Seth is number 1.
How the fuck do they... How do they...
You never guess who number 2 is, by the way.
How is Stardust 7?
I don't know.
I mean, not Stardust. How is Neville 7 and Stardust 13? That's...
Okay, I gotta go back to it. Seth's number 1. Who's number 2?
Cena?
Nope.
Triple H?
No, he's number 0. He is the game.
He's got to go over. He is the cerebral assassin.
Yeah, guess who number 2 is.
Number 2 is, if Seth is number 1, and number 2 is not Cena, number 2's got to be Randy.
Number 2 is not Randy.
Who is it?
Undertaker.
Oh, Jesus.
Number 3. Now guess who number 3 is.
Brock.
Nope.
Obviously.
Nope.
What the fuck? I mean, this is okay. I'm
no, we're playing this game. We're going through the top 5 now. Guess who number 3
Jesus
is.
Christ.
Guess who number
3 is. Kevin Owens.
Nope.
Sheamus.
Nope. How are you missing this one?
Fuck. Oh, Cena. Okay, there it
nope.
is. God damn it.
Dada.
Roman.
Yeah, Roman. Number Roman 4. Number 4
is
now
Bray.
You can give me the
Cena.
Answer. Cena. Thank you. Okay, number 5.
Bork?
Nope.
Have we not got to Brock yet?
Nope.
Is Brock not on the list?
Brock is on the list. He's not in the top 5.
Jesus Christ. I want to smoke what they're smoking.
I do too.
Okay, number 5 is Bray.
Nope.
KO?
Nope.
Sheamus?
Yep.
There it is.
Number 6.
Bork Laser.
Yep. He is okay. One spot ahead of Neville.
Jesus Christ.
Orton is 8. Orton is 8th. Owens is 9th. And the Wyatt family is 10th.
Where is Cesaro?
He was, I think, God, that's so many clicks. I'm giving them so much click revenue right now. It's not even.
Cesaro and Ryback are the two I'm interested in.
Cesaro is 16. He's one ahead of PCB and one behind the primetime players.
Oh, poor guy.
Ryback is fifth or number 12, one below Dean Ambrose and one above the New Day.
That's fair. That's a fair spot for Ryback right now.
They're all kind of overvalued at that spot, but that's the right order. Ryback, only 2 spots ahead of Stardust, by the way.
Jesus. Why isn't Stardust the number 1 contender to that title, then? If that's the way they feel.
I don't know.
You know?
Like, anyway, going back to Ziggler... Rusev, I'm looking at the spoilers for SmackDown. Miz TV happens with Lana and Dolph. This is all that this recap from somebody wrote from the arena has for me. Summer Rae, Dolph Ziggler and Lana are out there. Summer Rae ends up coming out by herself and gets into it with Lana. They're separated by Ziggler and Miz. So, that's that. Any more comments on Ziggler and Rusev? Other than
man,
now put it out of its misery.
If this goes straight Russo and ends in a Dolph turn, I'm very against it unless it matters. And when I say matters, I mean like world championship matters. That's the only way I want to turn Dolph heel right now. But ultimately, my point with both of these guys is, I'm fine with this feud to introduce the ladies. That being said. When we're done with it, give these guys something that matters for them.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's Sheamus for Dolph to renew an old rivalry and Money in the Bank guy wins, or I don't know if it's, you know, you don't want to go back to Cena with Rusev, but maybe Ryback Rusev. Ryback Rusev feels fresh. Maybe something like that.
Yeah.
Moving forward. But please, give these guys something fresh, something that matters.
Totally.
I would even take, you know, I would be fine with a Dolph Big Show rivalry, or a Dolph Miz rivalry would be fine for mid card build a guy, or Dolph, if they really feel that highly about Stardust, Dolph Stardust, I feel like would be some hella matches.
Yeah, that'd be good. That's fine. That'd be really good. Yeah,
that's fine. But let's move forward with these guys. Give them something that matters.
Totally. You know who totally matters right now, though?
Who?
New Day.
New Day rocks. New Day rocks. Your text between you and your mother was the funniest thing I've read all week.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yes, Monday morning, I text my mom. I was like, how's your morning going? And she said, she's on the road. She's traveling for work. And I wrote her back. I said, oh, don't you dare be sour. Clap while you're driving and feel the power. And then she said something about, no, I'm not doing that. I'm just calling it booty. brilliant. Yeah, so New Day does rock, and so do the Dudley Boys, who had their first match back on Monday Night Raw in 10 years, which was pretty awesome.
The Dudleys have more tag championships than any team in history, and I have never in my life had a problem with them being the team to hold that distinction.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Totally. And I don't think now's the time to take the belts off the New Day. I would like to see the New Day have more than a cup of coffee with the titles. That being said, at some point in the not-too-distant future, maybe at TLC is where it would make the most obvious sense.
Yeah.
I'm all for the Dudley Boys becoming 10-time champions. I have no qualms with that whatsoever.
That would be awesome. New Day cuts an amazing promo on the Dudley Boys saying they're table poachers and we have to save the tables. Save the tables. As they proceed to pull out the last table left in the arena, according to them, that is wrapped in bubble wrap that they are going to protect.
These guys are incredible.
It was so good. We talk about how great they are every week. I don't really have much else to say other than it was great. I'm sure they've cut the promo down on YouTube or watch the replay on Hulu or something. So good. They have a great match with the Dudleys, which at first I was like, well, I'm kind of upset they're giving this match away on Raw for free when we should just save it for Night of Champions. But it was good.
It's a good way to, well, even though they're former 9-time champions, you still need to do something to put yourself in the title picture before you just step in and get a title match.
Yeah.
They're not Sting.
Yeah, and that occurred
I'm okay with them pinning the champs to get a shot at the champs. I have no qualms with that.
Yeah, that occurred to me after the fact. I was like, oh, okay, they have a win. So now they're really contenders. Cool. But it was just a really great match. I think because we haven't seen them on WWE television in 10 years, they felt really fresh. They felt really good. It was really good to see them there. The only thing, and this happened last week when New Day had their match, I think it even happened on SmackDown. No, it didn't happen on SmackDown when New Day had their match, but the primetime players are out there doing commentary, and Darren Young's being terrible on commentary. I don't know why that's happening. I get it because they're the champions, but I don't need that.
Well, we're not the champions.
Oh, yeah, that's right. New Day is. Okay, really, why are they out there then? I was trying to justify something that's not even the case.
Maybe they have they have a rematch clause still.
Yeah. So maybe we'll get a triple threat.
Theoretically, they have a rematch clause.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens there. Like I said, it was a good match. I'm excited to see the Dudleys back. I'm excited to see all that, and I think it's gonna be a really good feud. So then I guess we have Divas Beat the Clock Challenge, the first ever for the number one contendership for Nikki's title. Nikki cuts a promo before the first match starts, saying, you know, we're counting down every glorious moment until I surpass the reign of AJ Lee and become the longest-running Divas champion. And she introduces us to the Bellatron, counting down the 14 days, and I guess now it's 13 days, to her passing AJ Lee, which does expire on a Raw in 2 weeks. But we'll get there. We'll get to that moment. And we'll talk about that in a second.
Okay.
The three Divas Beat the Clock matches. Becky Lynch is up first against Alicia Fox. Becky wins in like 2 minutes, 21 seconds, if I remember. 3 minutes, 21 seconds. That's right. Second match, Charlotte defeats Brie Bella in a minute 20, I think. Minute 15, something like that. Paige then faces Sasha. That match does hit the limit of time and is ended. So Charlotte is the number one contender for the Divas title. I wrote, hey, they're fighting for the title. That's cool. Finally.
I'm fine with it.
I'm so much better than this being freaking Divas West Side Story.
I agree. And I know some people were complaining with the Beat the Clock format because why would we want to cheer for shorter Divas matches? But Beat the Clock has always been one of my favorite methods of finding a number one contendership. I think it works. I don't think it's like, oh, we're not giving Divas time. If anything, it's making Divas matter more. They used to do this on SmackDown all the time with the World Heavyweight Championship, and I always loved it.
Yeah.
When they had a bunch of big, strong guys. Beat the Clock challenges are fun. The right person probably won the Beat the Clock. And a lot of people also didn't like the end of Paige Sasha, but it doesn't make Sasha still undefeated on Raw. And Paige looks strong as well.
Yeah.
And the right person is still in the title match. I had no qualms with it.
Yeah. Me either. It ended fine. The way I thought it was going to happen was that Sasha would flat beat Paige in the time allotted. As she does have a win and a pin on the champion, she would claim, well, I should be in it too. And we'd have a triple threat. That's not the case. So as we know, as of right now, it is Nikki versus Charlotte for the Divas title at Night of Champions. But as I alluded to earlier, Nikki's reign, which they're making a really big deal of, is up on the go-home show tonight of Champions. And I have this feeling she's going to lose the belt that night.
I have a sneaky feeling, too. That being said, I do think it could go either way. Yeah. I think there's a chance that it's not. It has all the looks of an obvious swerve, which is why I feel like maybe it won't. The kind of swerve here would be if she did hold the belt. And if she does, I'm not too pissed with it because we still have the right person fighting for the champion on fighting for the championship on a pay-per-view the week after.
Yeah. So if you have someone beat Nikki on the go-home Raw for the title, who do you have? I have Sasha because she has that claim that she's beaten Nikki once. And I can see Nikki being like, that's fine. I'm going to beat you anyway. And then I'll just go Sunday and beat Charlotte.
I think Sasha's the only one that makes sense. If you're going to go that route and give someone the belt before Night of Champions, I think Sasha is the only one that makes sense.
I
complete
think that
the Divas Revolution. It truly would make this a Divas Revolution if Sasha took the belt off of Nikki before it broke AJ Lee's record. It would also be the WWE thumbing their nose at everyone who said, oh, they're just going to leave it on Nikki until she beats AJ out of spite.
Yeah.
It would be I think a lot of nice things would be accomplished if Sasha won it. I feel like it would complete the Divas Revolution. But even if that doesn't happen, I'm fine with it because the right person is fighting for the championship
exactly
on pay-per-view.
Yeah. And I feel like even if still to get to the triple threat, like I said, you know, I think that, you know, if Sasha was to win, Nikki would be like, well, I'm going to cash in my rematch tonight, champions. And then you still have that triple threat match.
You do, but if you don't and it's just Sasha v. Charlotte.
Perfect. I'm way happier with that potential. Yeah.
So. But I have no problem with Nikki being there. I really don't.
Totally. Our last topic on Raw. Awesome. The Wyatt family and 2/3 of the Shield. Last week we saw the debut of Braun Strowman.
Big strong man. I love him.
Big strong man. He has a one-on-one with Ambrose before the match. We, of course, get the obligatory dark promo from Why I talk about, you know, the seventh trumpet is sounding and it's Armageddon, and then Strowman talks like, yeah, I'm bringing Armageddon. Look at me. they have they had a match. I'm not even gonna say it was a good match. They had a match. Braun and Ambrose. Braun ends up winning via disqualification when Roman Reigns goes to attack Braun Strowman on the outside of the ring as they're fighting to defend Dean Ambrose. It was not a malicious kind of DQ. He was legitimately worried about the welfare of his buddy after he'd been thrown full speed into the barricade. I don't have strong feelings on this. I know people seem to be really split on Braun Strowman right now. I think it's too early to pass judgment on him.
I think it's too early to pass judgment, but they booked him strong as hell.
Yeah, and they should at this point.
You certainly can't
blame
WWE booking. He's had a great debut. He's debuted correctly. He looks strong.
Yeah. His finisher, that armpit sniffer gimmick thing that's going on there, is weird to me. I think we need to find him a new finisher.
I wasn't sure how I felt about the finisher either. But that being said, he was booked hella strong over two guys who I think, and I think the WWE thinks, are maybe not main eventers, but are definitely 1B to the main eventers. These guys can main event shows. I think the WWE feels that way about Bray. I think they feel that way about Dean. I think they feel that way particularly about Roman.
Yeah.
Roman and Bray. But also Dean, to a lesser degree. And they just took two guys who they feel are main eventers on their show and had a guy whoop them in his debut. And that's hella strong booking. The kid, the ball's in his hands at this point.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, I just don't have strong feelings either way right now. I'm just kind of like, all right, let's see what he does. Let's see where we go with this. It all has to do with the finish of the story. But we'll see.
I'm intrigued. I'll leave it at that. I'm certainly interested to see where this goes.
Yeah, I don't hate the guy. So, like I said, I just don't have feelings either way yet. It's clear they're gonna need backup. That Ambrose and Reigns are gonna need backup to defeat the Wyatt family with the addition of the Black Sheep, Braun Strowman. And clearly, since it's not Sting now, who's the third member of the new Shield? This is a tough
Neville.
One. I think Neville's still tied up in a Stardust feud. They haven't given that up yet.
The easy answer is Cesaro, but I don't think I want to say Cesaro, really.
Yeah, I'd love to see it.
You know, and I've used this answer a lot, and I know you can only give them to one guy, but I'm just saying these are three logical feuds that I wouldn't mind seeing a progression on. I don't mind Ryback. And maybe even have Ryback versus Strowman for the IC title at Night of Champions. I think that could be a logical way to go with the new guy who's starting off super hot. He just beat up two of your 1B main eventers.
Yeah.
Put him in an IC title match at Night of Champs. I think that would be a logical place to go with
Ryback. It would. That absolutely won't happen, but... So, I have two ideas. I have two theories on this. One, Daniel Bryan.
DB would be cool.
Because
DB
that way,
would be super cool. I didn't even think of Daniel Bryan, but that's a great choice.
He's going into a feud. He's fought the Wyatt family before, so there's prior history. And he's also going into a feud, a 3-on-3 feud, where he can, as he's kind of getting back into the groove of it, he's not working too hard. If they want to protect him, since they have the worries about him being so injury prone. So that works.
You know, the last
me that works really
feud,
well.
The last time Daniel Bryan jobbed to a heel
was Bray Wyatt.
It was Bray Wyatt.
Yep.
I think that's a very logical place to go. I don't think you're wrong.
Yeah. So I would really enjoy that. I think that would be cool.
I think that
the other option
you've sold me.
Yeah. The other thing I think could happen is that they bring up somebody from NXT.
I've thought that as well, and I was trying to think of who would come up.
Yeah.
If Generico's cleared.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Sami Zayn is my, like... He's not. I honestly don't think he is.
I don't think he's medically cleared, but God, what a beautiful time it would be to call up Sami Zayn to main roster. I think it would just, and I think he's the right guy to take on the Seth role in the Shield. Absolutely. Yeah. I think Generico is the way to go for sure.
Oh God, I got it. There's only one man big enough to deal with Braun Strowman. And he's 7 foot tall, and you can't teach that. Nope, you're not feeling me on Big Cass?
I can dig Big Cass, but I like him with Enzo too much.
But no, he's coming up with Enzo. Enzo's just going to talk for him. And then when they're done with this feud, when we hit the blow off on that, which would come very quickly thereafter, they join the tag team division. It's really stupid. It's really, really stupid, which makes it incredibly possible in WWE.
I like the Generico idea better.
Yeah.
If we're calling up somebody who's actively NXT-ing right now, maybe,
I got one. Ooh. I got one. I think we just got to the same conclusion, and I'm gonna chant it.
Samoa Joe.
Joe is gonna kill you. Joe is gonna kill you.
Samoa Joe is a very logical place to go there. You're so not wrong.
Holy shit. Ugh. I would.
I would love
I would
Samoa
mark
Joe.
The fuck out.
Samoa
yeah,
Joe
a lot
is a
of
great.
Think...
Hey, that's.
Daniel Bryan, Samoa Joe, probably the two best options they have.
That's the first time we've ever fantasy booked together where we both came to the conclusion that this...
And we both start going...
Where we both realized who the right choice was at the right
yeah.
same time.
I still think...
Crap, you're feeling the same way I am.
Yeah. I still think Daniel Bryan is the right choice. But fuck, Samoa Joe would be great.
Samoa Joe or Generico. I think I would be happy with any of those three guys.
I think when Sami Zayn comes up, he's got to be going for Kevin Owens.
I think so, too. But,
yeah.
Like I said, I wouldn't mind him in that scenario.
Yeah. I think we're done with Raw.
Are we?
I think we're done with Raw. Yeah. That's fun. So let's move on. We'll move on to some other WWE news.
Jesus.
We're going to spend 30 seconds on each topic here.
All right, let's try.
First, Zara Shriver, Seth Rollins' ex-girlfriend. Well, I guess he's probably ex-girlfriend now. And mistress.
Well, you said that, but she also dick-picked him, and he kept her after that. So some
yeah.
guys just can't help but keep their dick in crazy.
Yep. Zara fired from WWE for taking lots of pictures with Nazi propaganda. Thoughts?
You know, I had a thing happen one time.
Oh, God, where is this going?
I found a Nazi coin in my attic, okay?
Okay.
And it was just super cool. I was cleaning out the attic. I don't, you know, I didn't own the house prior. We bought the house, and it had a bunch of crap in the attic. And I was cleaning out the attic, and I was sweeping, and there were some coins. And I was just collecting the coins, and one of them was, it just had a swastika on the back of it, and like a bird on the front. And I was like, holy crap, this is a coin from Nazi Germany. I thought it was neat for historical reasons. I'm in no way, I think it's horrific. I think everything related to the Holocaust is horrific, and I think most people probably feel that way. However, the history buff in me went, that's really neat. And almost even from a sentimental place, not from a, you know, not from a Nazi support place, but this was big enough and huge enough that my backwards ass self from Walkertown, North Carolina, I can clean out my attic and find a piece of it.
Yeah.
Like, that's how huge and massive, and it makes it real for me.
Yeah.
I like it for the same reason that I like, you know, going to the Smithsonian. I just think it's super cool to see a piece of history. So I took a picture of it and put it online, and I instantly got so much shit. And I was like, guys, you were taking this all wrong.
Yeah.
So wrong.
Here's
I just
the
found
difference,
this in my
though.
Attic and thought it was cool.
Here's the difference, though. You
she
took a
built
picture.
A damn shrine.
You took a picture of a historical artifact, She was posing in front of it and then tried to cover it saying, no, it's the Hindu swastika. And everybody's like, no, honey, that doesn't have an eagle on it. So, yeah, she's gone. Good riddance. Also, some crazy-ass guy got shot at the Performance Center Monday afternoon. A guy who is, I'm not even going to mention his name because he doesn't deserve it because he's batshit crazy.
And people, just so everyone knows, if you read his name and made a quick assumption without paying much attention, not Umaga's manager. That's not the guy.
I did not come to that conclusion. Guy obsessed with Lita, as we've come to find out, who had a restraining...
Well, you know...
Go ahead, sorry.
You know, only Lita can judge him.
Yeah, that's what he said in multiple tweets many, many times. So if you Google any of this, you can find it. That's why I'm not... I don't want to mention too much of it.
Right.
WWE has a restraining order because he's shown up to the Performance Center multiple times looking for Lita. Even to the point where one time he rubbed his feces and urine on the Performance Center, because apparently that's a great way to show your affection for somebody. There is a 10-minute YouTube video of him preparing the feces. If you'd like to watch it, I did. Please don't watch it. he shows up this time to the Performance Center, brandishing a knife at an Orange County Sheriff's deputy who defends himself. The man is out of surgery and is recovering, but, definitely arrested. So what did we learn, kids? Don't buy Nazi paraphernalia and don't stalk the divas.
That's not all, JC. We have two more WWE bad press to review this weekend.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even write this one down yet. Jimmy Snuka got arrested for a murder that occurred 30-some-odd years ago today.
Yeah.
That everybody kind of knew we did. So Jimmy Snuka's in jail. That's a thing.
Yeah, Superfly in some trouble, y'all.
What's the other WWE bad press? If you say Bram, that doesn't count. I left that off because he's in TNA.
It only counts because he's still married to Charlotte.
Their final divorce hearing is on September 10th. It's close enough that they're not married anymore. Oh, God, I think I lost you. Yep. Oh, there we go. I got you back. Anyway, it's close enough.
I'm back.
Yeah, so September 10th is their final hearing. I think it's close enough they're not married at this point.
Yeah. Well,
even though he did get fired from WWE for punching a cop. Whatever.
They're technically more together than, I guess, you know,
Seth Rollins
Seth and his girlfriend.
And his neo-Nazi girlfriend, yeah.
And, I mean, they're slightly more committed than Nikki and John.
Which, more on that on Total Divas next week.
Brand at least put a ring on it.
Let me give you... This is my 30-second plug for Total Divas. It is the dumbest thing you will watch on television once a week. It's dumber than Raw. It's dumber than SmackDown. Shit, it's dumber than the Raw pre-show. But let me tell you, it is the most entertaining 1 hour of my life each week. Because I got to watch Paige get yelled at by the Road Dog, crash a motorcycle... and get into a fight with Cameron today. I also got to see Natty hooking her sister up with Big E.
Jesus Christ.
Next week, we get to see Nikki lay down the law with Cena, and Nikki start flirting with Dolph Ziggler. I can't make this shit up. You have to fucking watch it. It's so stupid. And because you're already invested in the characters, you can't not watch it. That's my plug. Total Divas, 9 p.m. Eastern on E! Every week.
Is it more or less kayfabe than main roster? What I'm asking is it more or less real?
Well, so they get things, so they re-edit chronologically to where it doesn't make sense if you know the actual product. Like, right. They had WrestleMania, and then they were supposed to be at a Raw after WrestleMania, and you can see Barrett walking around backstage with the IC title, and I'm like, that's not true. But anyway, it's all reality TV, no matter what. So
I suppose what I'm asking is, how scripted is it?
Somewhat. No more or less than any other reality show.
Fair.
Last but not least, ladies and gentlemen, the highlight of the show. This is it. This is my favorite part of the show. This is what I come here for every week. Three-word SmackDown reviews.
Oh, man. Three-word SmackDown
reviews. Three-word SmackDown reviews. If you're not familiar with this segment of the show, I tell TJ what happened in every match on SmackDown. And this time, I actually pre-read it and wrote one-sentence descriptions on the rundown rather than trying to cut it out of an article midstream. And then TJ is going to react in three words. And that's our closing bit. We love it. It's fun. Here we go. Three-word SmackDown review. Main event of the night is Ambrose. That's not the main event. Maybe it was. I don't really know. It's SmackDown. Who cares? Ambrose faces Sheamus one-on-one. Sheamus wins when Bray Wyatt distracts Ambrose mid-match. And the Wyatt family distracts him, I should say. Reigns does arrive. Superman punches Luke Harper, but then proceeds to get wrecked by Braun Strowman, unsurprisingly. TJ, three-word review.
Big strong man.
Big strong man. I swear to God, there better be a t-shirt with that. All I wrote was Dudley's versus Ascension. Dudley's win. Three-word review.
Why the rematch?
Is there a rematch? Do we have to watch this again?
No, that was their debut match on SmackDown. I'm thinking this is two separate weeks.
No, this is last week.
I apologize. I fucked up because I actually made a point to watch this match only because the Dudleys were in it. That's why I'm thinking this is two separate weeks.
Anyway,
I don't normally watch SmackDown. I watched this match.
Three word review for what you saw then.
What's up?
Not even three syllables. Words. Sure. Kevin Owens versus Neville. Good match. Two NXT champion alumni. Can't complain about that. Owens does win via pop-up powerbomb. Three-word review.
Correct. Decision made.
Okay.
Correct. Decision made.
Cool. Bellas versus PCB. PCB wins.
Trios suck hard.
Yeah. Remember how good we thought that was going to be? Remember how happy we were? Fuck. Fuck, they fucked it up. Oh, Jesus. Ryback and Ziggler versus Rusev and Big Show. This was a momentous occasion, by the way. As Show, KO punches Rusev mid-match and leaves, officially signifying his 1,500th face-to-or-heel turn in his career. So that's a milestone that should put him in the Hall of Fame single-handedly after he leaves the faces win. Three-word review. He's thinking hard. I can see his face, by the way.
I need a minute. Is four words.
That is.
Hall of Fame.
All right, there's
class Smarter. Of 2015. He was supposed to be in this year. Hold on.
Oh no!
This is one of those. This is one of those things where every now and then the WWE burns my ass because they will clearly make a point, and then they will expect you to forget about it, and it pisses me off. Okay. Big Show was promised to be in the Hall of Fame this year if he helped out Triple H at Survivor Series. Is Big Show in the Hall of Fame? No, Trips is a dick.
I don't even have a response to the fact you remember that, because I don't remember that.
It was a Monday Night Raw segment. It was when Trips was trying to recruit people Triple H.
I remember it now that you told me. But...
Because remember, we had those god-awful Big Show Sheamus matches.
Oh, dear sweet Jesus. By the way, another tag team match that Big Show turned in. Survivor Series last year.
I thought Survivor Series was my favorite match of the year. That was my match of the year last year.
Daniel Bryan versus Orton versus Batista was the match of the year.
I understand that argument, but for me, for storytelling, for the fact that it's the only time in his entire fucking career they booked Dolph Ziggler correctly, for Sting, for everything about that, to me, that was a perfect moment in WWE. It might have been in my... honestly, I think it was the best Survivor Series, traditional Survivor Series match of all time. And I know there are people who will say that the Rock Austin one was... For me, that match clicked a little bit better. I've went and rewatched it several times. It's one of my 10 favorite matches ever. I thought Survivor Series 14 was match of the year.
The best Survivor Series match of all time was Team WWF versus Team Alliance. Get it right.
I know. Rock Austin. That's that. I know. That's most people's choice. I would take last year's, and I would have never believed it going into the match, but God, it was just... It's my very favorite Dolph Ziggler match of all time, and Dolph Ziggler's probably my favorite current wrestler.
Yeah. It wasn't his spot, though. That was totally... If Reigns hadn't had that hernia...
Oh, it so would have been Roman.
That was all
no
Roman.
No question.
And here's the thing. I think it would have made his reaction from the crowd worse. People would have hated him even more.
Oh, absolutely. But with Dolph, Dolph was the right guy to do that to that night.
Should have been Cesaro. They should have put Cesaro in that face spot, but whatever.
I disagree. I think Dolph was the right
Dolph
choice at the
really,
right
really
time.
Well there.
I think Dolph was perfect. It's like I said, it's my favorite Dolph match. It's my favorite Survivor Series match. It's my 2014 match of the year. Yeah. Probably in my top 10 matches of all time.
Cool.
Anyways, three-word SmackDown reviews. That was a lot more than three.
That was. That was a lot. And then we got into the Survivor Series. That's weird. Coming up 2 months, 3 months. Jesus, get ahead of myself.
We'll get to that in a minute. I want to talk Survivor Series in a minute, though.
Why?
Just for a minute. Just for a minute. Not for long, but just
well,
for
go,
a minute.
Go, because I was getting ready to wrap up the show, so bring it up now.
Oh, okay. Did we do all the three-word reviews? Was that
yeah,
everything
that's
that happened?
It. We're done. We're done with three-word reviews.
Oh, okay, cool. Survivor Series, the only reason I wanted to touch on it, it's the next, they're the big four in wrestling. You have Mania, SummerSlam, Royal Rumble, and Survivor Series. And all of your booking should ultimately lead to those four main events. Ideally, your in-between pay-per-views are in-between pay-per-views. Your big moments are going to happen at your big pay-per-views. So what are the teams going to be? What teams make sense at Survivor Series this year? What should be the feud? Because I don't want to see Authority versus Cena. I don't want to see Authority versus Seth. What's a feud that makes sense for Survivor Series this year?
Team Seth versus Team Triple H. I know you said that's what you don't want to see, but...
I don't see it. I can't see it happening, I don't think.
Team Undertaker versus Team Lesnar.
Oh, Jesus. That's originally, I thought...
Stupid enough.
Originally, I thought maybe Team Nikki versus Team Charlotte would be a logical way to go.
No, no, yes, and it does, and it still makes sense. I fucking don't want to see another Divas tag match for another year.
I don't either. And I don't either. I don't either. I'm just saying when I very first was thinking about Survivor Series, that's the way I would have went.
Yeah, totally.
But that was before the tag shit that we've had going on now. Or just the dearth there, the crapness. Maybe Team Wyatt versus Team Shield is a logical way to go for Survivor Series.
Yeah. I honestly think that your main event Survivor Series match is Team Authority versus Team Seth.
I think maybe the reason that they're building the Wyatt family up, because Rowan's still probably going to be a Wyatt when he comes back. And they kind of have the feel like Bray is adding people to his team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I could see that being a logical way to go. A team, not even Team Shield, but a Team Roman versus the Wyatts. Team Brothers versus... Oh, man.
Oh, no. Oh! Oh, my God. Cody and Stardust are going to join them. Or Cody and Goldust.
No.
Oh, I got really
excited. Dudley and Devon.
Ooh. Ooh, I like that.
Team Brother, tell me there are not two people who would fit better in that feud than Dudley and Devon.
Because then you add Rowan back to the other side. Let's assume he's coming back. I have no clue what his timetable is.
Right.
But those are 5-on-5 matches, so.
Or even the Usos.
Yeah, I'd be cool with the Usos coming back for that. I miss the Usos. I never thought I was going to use that sentence once in my life, and I did.
I felt the same way when Randy did his movie not too long ago. I kept finding myself every Monday going, I really miss Randy Orton.
No,
I never thought I'd come to that point.
I knew I'd miss Orton then because he was getting so hot leading up to it, and then it just ended because of that. But anyway, yeah. I'm down with Team Shield and the Dudleys versus the Wyatts. That's cool. Spike Dudley.
Jesus
back.
Christ, Spike. Well,
the
no, this
roof
is what
come
I was.
Off the fucking place.
I was actually thinking, add, and this is real hardcore fantasy booking. This is going way out on a limb. Okay, add a diva. Debut Sister Abigail, but there's only one diva in the whole world I would ever be okay with them actually doing a reveal as Sister Abigail for.
Okay.
WWE fans know her.
Well, oh, you're going to say a bit. Or you're going to say karma.
Indie fans know her as the Amazing Kong. WWE fans who may remember her would remember her as Karma. And I think she would be a perfect
Fuck
Sister
yeah.
Abigail.
And then Paige
I think
the, and
Karma
then you put Paige
would be
on the
greatest.
Other side.
And Paige on the other side. Yeah, Paige is the logical choice for the face team.
Because I love Paige. I love her so much that I'm driving to Orlando tomorrow to rub feces in urine on the outside of the Performance Center.
and man, Paige and you, I could see Paige and Karma having great chemistry. That could be a fun.
That'd be fun.
If you're not familiar with Karma, her only match in WWE ever was the Royal Rumble, the year that she became the third diva to ever fight in the Royal Rumble. She's a very massive ebony female.
Yes, she's a big girl.
She plays the part of she plays the part of Monster Heel, and she plays it fantastically. She's one of the better indie divas.
Yeah, she's in TNA right now. Not that you have Destination America, but feel free to watch it.
Right.
If you're
and
bored on Wednesday.
She's very good, and I think she would fit with this Diva Revolution. She's different. She's always been told she can't make it because of how she looks. She's not a diva.
Nope.
She's, you know, she is a, I'm guessing here, but to the average eye, she's a 250-pound, 6'5" black woman.
Yeah, that's probably accurate.
And damn if she wouldn't look perfect with the Wyatt family.
Yeah.
Let Bray have a black sister from down in the bayou. I don't care if it makes logical sense.
Yeah, totally. Cool. Getting into that pre-Survivor Series talk 2.5 months early.
Sorry. but it is the next big one. I'm really not too sorry because it's the next milestone.
Yep, it is. It is.
And eventually you do have to book towards that.
Yep. Totally. Well, any parting thoughts from you today, TJ? Like I said, kind of a lackluster week. Nothing too outstanding.
In reference to, you know, kids, look at the Seth situation. Don't stick your dick in crazy. Other kids, if you're a female kid, look at the Charlotte situation. Don't let crazy stick its dick in you.
More importantly, your shit's on the internet forever. People are going to be hearing the shit I'm saying right now. For eternity, it's going to
everything you ever say in 2015 is recorded, whether you realize it or not. Post carefully.
The second I upload this, it is archived for humanity.
The internet never dies. Nothing is safe.
Which is the
saddest
thing ever.
Don't Snapchat your boobs to a guy if you're not comfortable with that guy showing the whole world your boobs, because
Unless
the internet
me.
Never lives and you can't trust any never dies and you can't trust anybody. Be careful what you put out there, people.
And you can send that to my Snapchat. anyway, you can find me on Twitter at JC Bobbitt, BOBBITT. I'm usually posting during Raw and SmackDown and all the time. And I did not write one tweet during Total Divas tonight. I was so enthralled. That's how you know it's a good show, when I'm not running my mouth about it.
That's true.
So you can find me.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at JC Bobbitt. I was just going to restate. That's all.
You can find me at Twitter at TEEJSTER77.
Cool.
And there's reason to believe, and I don't want to push this too hard because we have to work out schedules.
Which but we haven't even begun to do yet, by the way.
There is reason to believe that we might have a very cool guest on the show next week, and I'll leave it at that. I don't want to cause too much more excitement than that.
I will even go so far as to say we are in talks with a WWE superstar.
Yes. I would say pay attention next week because there might be some cool stuff happen. You know, out of nowhere, we're coming to get you next week.
Which the fact I get to say that, and it could be fucking Eugene Dinsmore for all the fuck I care. We might get to interview a superstar, and that's badass.
And it's not Eugene Dinsmore. It's not. It's certainly not Seth Rollins or Brock Lesnar either. But it's a very cool. We might have a neat interview next week.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. So I don't want to name drop, but I do want to tease you a little bit when I get up in there and tease you a little bit.
You already heard my tease, didn't you? I dropped a good one in there. If you're an astute fan, go back and listen. I dropped a nice little teaser in there somewhere.
Yeah. But anyway, you can also follow the show on Twitter at Out of Nowhere Show, SHO with no W. God, that was a stupid decision on my part. You can also like us on Facebook, Out of Nowhere Show. Out of Nowhere, we're on there. Download us, subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher if you haven't already. You can rate, review, and subscribe us both places. We appreciate it. 5 stars. Always makes me feel good inside and brightens my day. It warms up the cockles of my heart when you do that, and I greatly appreciate it. And it makes TJ smile. He's smiling right now because I can see him.
I sure am.
Yes. So that is all for this week's episode of the Out of Nowhere podcast. And I'm going to end.
Thank you always for listening.
I'm going to end this one in honor of the new day and Xavier Woods and say, keep it tight. Keep it tight.